Sextastic Tuesday. On Distorted View.
Harry Potter and the Underage Blowjob by J.K. Rowling. Harry Potter pulled his flies open and his large purple prick stood out like a salami. It was swelling like a monstrous balloon and a vein was throbbing. Hermione, one of Harry's best friends, went down on him. She stretched her mouth tightly, entirely round his dick, and sat gulping wetly. Hermione was lapping noisily, but the swelling didn't stop. A loud ripping noise rent the air. His trousers were in bloody tatters. Harry withdrew his prick from her mouth. It must be 14 inches, said Hermione. She jerked Harry off, pulling on his dick, with her little finger sticking out. Harry was shaking all over. He felt his stomach clench. Harry squirted a nasty-smelling liquid into Hermione's face. Hermione spluttered and blinked, her great ruddy face dripping. Excellent nosh! She burped richly, smacking her lips. I just lost control.
Hi, freaks! It's Tuesday, April 29th, 2008. Coming up on the program today, a lie detector for retards. Plus, a baby gets clogged in a toilet and killing your sister with a rock because it put a smile on her face. All of this plus a brand new edition of Sextastic Tuesday. It's coming up right here, right now, on The Distorted View Show.
It's The Distorted View Show with Tim Hansen.
Yes, Timothy Deanna Henson, this is the Distorted View Show. Thank you guys so much for checking out the Tuesday podcast. Got a great show for you today. As a matter of fact, it is Sextastic Tuesday. We've got a story written by Corey that we're going to be getting into in just a second. But before we do that, you know that website literotica.com? It's a website that just features a bunch of sex stories, right? And I find a lot of great sextastic material from that. But anyways, there's a section on there that it's audio stories, basically. People record their own voice reading sex stories, and it's really creepy. We've played some of these on the sideshow, but I've got a new one here. Let me just play you one of the really creepiest intros I've heard in a while.
You're a grown woman, but all you really want to be is daddy's little girl.
Right, that's just creepy, right?
I'm a sucker for other people's pain.
Exactly. Could you imagine if this guy had a daughter, and he's, like, recording this creepy story, and she walks past his bedroom?
You're such a dirty little nasty girl, and you just keep surprising your daddy.
Thank God my bedroom door has a lock on it.
Remember when I took you to that strip club?
All right, enough. You get the idea. If you want to hear more of these, you can become a member of the Sideshow and listen to a couple of those extended programs where we've done this. Although I do have a new one here I wanted to play. It's a woman doing a story, and I hate the way she speaks.
So, when you're back from war, huh, boy? Did you miss me?
So, you're back from war. Did you miss me?
Who gets off to this? Who is loading this on their iPod and jerking off on their way to work? Maybe that's not the best question to ask with this audience, but you get the idea. Like, who's listening to this while they're jogging in the morning? I don't know. I think this erotic fiction on the internet is rather pointless. Like, I remember when I was, like, 14 or 15, and the internet was just, you know, gaining popularity, and my small town got connected, and I was so excited about these sex stories. I was like, yeah, finally, something to jerk off to. Because I didn't want to download pictures because it took too long, right? Do you guys remember those 288 modems? A lot of you probably don't remember this. I feel like I'm dating myself here. But before we had cable internet and DSL and all that shit, you had to fucking hook it up to the phone line and these slow-ass modems. And two things would have happened if you were trying to look at a picture. One, it would start loading really slowly, scrolling down, and you see more and more of the picture. Or it was one of those pictures that was all garbled up, and then slowly but surely it would sort of like go into focus. It would be less pixelized and less pixelized, and finally you'd make out a pussy or a cock or something. Oh, it was the internet dark ages. And then, you know, now, once, you know, I got to college and it was the first time I ever had like a fast connection, fuck pictures, man. I'm all about video now. And I think that's where most people are at. I mean, who fucking looks at pictures? We've all evolved. I was going to play some more clips from this woman sex story, but we've got more important things to deal with right now. It's time for Sextastic Tuesday. This is a bit where I read you a porno and attempt to either get you off or creep you out. This being Distorted View, naturally the stories are a little bit fucked up. I mean, where else can you witness a Smurf gangbang? Only on DV. Alright, so like I said, this week's Sextastic Tuesday story is written by Corey, and Corey has written several really great stories in the past, and I believe today is no exception. Let's get into it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic.
It was 6,000 BC, and an epic love story had begun. 500 million years had passed since Father Time had the desire to make love to Mother Earth. Worried about the upcoming Ice Age, Father Time made his move. Father Time had a long, wispy white beard made of clouds and was dressed in a white, flowing robe of snow. His body was a large landmass made of rock, clay, and sand. Mother Earth wore a blue, silky dress of oceans, revealing her skin-colored land cleavage. This is very well written. This could almost pass as real literature. Father Time began to smell Mother Earth's atmosphere, which smelled like faint dead fish. Well, you ruined it there, Corey. Her lower region was covered in dense, bushy, weathered rainforest, and was home to two-thirds of the planet's animals. Centuries before, she had suffered from a devastating drought, but now her jungle juices began dripping like never before. Father Time preferred an area with deforestation, but decided to start logging. Father Time gently massaged her voluptuous, magnificent purple mountains. She was all natural. Earth was getting a heat wave and began global warming. Father Time opened his white robe, exposing his long cock, which resembled the size and shape of Florida. It had veiny fault lines, genital wart craters, and a bit of magma smegma under the folds of his uncircumcised landmass. His testicles were two small moons that orbited around his cock, which had their own magnetic field. From a far distance, the moons looked like cheese and smelled like cheese. As Father Time penetrated Mother Earth's rainforest, he started killing thousands of endangered species. The friction caused Earth's crust to be displaced. He shifted Earth's tectonic plates as he bitch-slapped her below the equator. With some extra gravitational pull, he hit Mother Earth's oceanic trench G-spot and started a forest fire of epic proportions. He then drove his arm deep in... I see where this is going. He then drove his arm deep into her volcano hole. Mother Earth cried, "No!" Little did he know it was that time of the century, and her volcano gushed with molten lava, running down Father Time's arms. Then, planet Neptune had arrived. He began to tag-team his big sister Earth. He titty-fucked her magnificent canyons while killing millions of dinosaurs. This should be taught in school. If we're going to fucking be teaching intelligent design in schools, we should definitely be teaching this as well. It's just as ridiculous. And then Father Time fist-fucked Mother Earth and her volcano cunt. That's how the dinosaurs were killed. Very good science report, Billy. All right, back to the story here. Mother Earth then passed a violent wind. She conjured up an F5 tornado mixed with dangerous greenhouse gases. Then, tremors developed and created a mudslide, splattering on Father Time's legs. She smelled like Uranus. "God damn it, your ass asteroids really turned me on," yelled the father. Then Mother Earth shook into a violent worldwide earthquaking orgasm. Mother Earth began to create streams of joy. A tsunami of juices blanketed her lower hemisphere. She began crying from her raging hormones and caused major flooding and aftershocks. Just then, Neptune let out a thunderous roar, pulled out and shot loads of atmospheric water vapor all over Earth's face. Father Time shot gobs of white freezing snow all over Mother Earth's ass, which happens to be in the former Soviet Union. "Ah, you fucking rocked my world," Mother Earth said, leaving her 71% covered in water all over her surface. I haven't come so hard since the Big Bang, Earth said. But it was not all sunshine and rainbows. No, no. Unfortunately, Neptune had contracted AIDS from Mother Earth since he had fucked Africa.
Corey.
Yes, Mother Earth had contracted humans from Father Time. She feared that the humans would kill her and the polar bears with their SUVs, light bulbs, aerosol spray cans, and the moon and the stars and the this and the that. But in the end, the humans lived with Mother Earth peacefully and wrote this stupid story about her sexual escapades. Some people love their Mother Earth, others make love to her. The end. That, my friends, is your Sextastic Tuesday for April 29th, 2008. Let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, fucked up news right now. Yeah, you know the drill by now. If you're not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow, sign up, support the program. It's only $5 a month or $50 a year. You get full access to the entire archives of Distorted View. That's every single episode of the show, plus extended shows, exclusive shows, video casts, and more. Yesterday we did an extended show. Today we're doing two shows. One for everyone here, and then later today there's going to be an exclusive Sideshow-only episode of the program. So if you want to check it out, sign up now, superfreaksideshow.com. First story we have for you today. This is just cruel. Hilariously cruel. The story comes from Jackson, Mississippi. A mentally disabled man, always a great start to a news story, a mentally disabled man who was given a fake lie detector test is still waiting for a settlement after 6 years. How how do you know that this lie detector test was fake? Pearl Police admitted that officers put a lampshade on Huey Granger's head in 2002. Granger had filed a police report claiming that his daughter was attacked by her boyfriend in their Pearl home. While at the police station, officers Keith Peterson and Jeff Thames gave him a fake lie detector test. This lie detector is very simple. You put the lampshade on your head. If your face starts glowing, we know you're lying.
Okay, you're my friend.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I help you?
The best part of that is the way he says help. All right, I'm asking for $2 million tax-free in my pocket and my insurance paid for the rest of my life, Granger said, adding,
licking good chicken.
So what exactly did the police officers do? Well, let's let the tard speak for himself. Quote, he hit me in the back of my head and messed my neck up pretty bad and put a lampshade on my head with electrical wires hooked to it and was trying to shoot electricity to me and get me to change my story to what happened to my daughter, Granger said. The incident was videotaped. They're trying to shock the shit out of the tard. Funny. I mean, horrible. It's awful. Police officers are animals with a sense of humor. The incident, believe it or not, was videotaped, and the city admitted the officers were wrong. Really, how much time do you think it took the city to come up with that decision? Well, we're studying the tape here. There's a lampshade on some dude's head, and they're trying to use the wires to shock him. We're still not convinced they did anything wrong. Yes, of course. They admitted the officers were wrong. Peterson and Thames were suspended, and both eventually left the department. Granger, who is mentally disabled, filed a lawsuit for civil rights violation. A federal judge ruled a few years ago that the city could not be held accountable for the officers' actions because there was not a documented pattern or history of abuse. Granger was left to sue the officers individually. Quote, I don't have anything against them either, Granger said. I just hope they'll make up their minds and get this case settled because it's been going on too long. An attorney representing the officers and Pearl Police Chief Bill Slade declined to comment on Friday's settlement conference. So there you go. It's going to trial November 3rd, so we might have a DV update for you in the fall. Second story we have for you today comes from Japan. I really do have a racist podcast here. A Japanese woman who attempted to flush her baby down the toilet has been charged with abandonment. Ritsuko Taniguchi, or something, 33, from central Japan, gave birth 3 months prematurely in her apartment's bathroom yesterday. Quote, she allegedly did not rescue the baby from the toilet basin and abandon him. Check this shit out. Her attempt to flush away the little problem, also known as a baby, did not succeed, because the baby became clogged. Yes, he blocked the toilet. Ms. Taniguchi called a repairman. Oh, horrible idea. What do you think is going to happen? Even a complete idiot can tell the difference between a hair clog and a fucking aborted fetus. Yes, Ms. Taniguchi called the repairman hours later and recovered the dead baby with his help. She told the man it was a doll. Yes, that's correct. I'm a collector of bloody, wrinkly, dead baby dolls. They are really hard to find. Yeah, she told the man it was a doll, but he was suspicious and called the police. Mrs. Taniguchi was arrested today.
And I wonder what I would have grown up to be. I guess I'll never know. 'Cause mommy, you killed me.
Final story we have for you today also comes from Japan. Not a good day for the Japanese. A woman has been arrested after admitting to fatally beating her sister with a rock because it would make her feel happy. It wasn't a rock! It was a rock! Lobster! Rock lobster! Rock lobster? Rock lobster! And we're done with that. All right. Sayoko Yoda, 44, was arrested for the murder of her 39-year-old sister, Shaiko. Yoda admits to the allegations, quote, "My sister and I had a lot of arguments about our family. We got into another fight on Friday night, and I figured I'd be happier if I killed her. So I killed her," Yoda told the police. Simple as that. Police said that Yoda used a rock taken from the garden of the family home to repeatedly smash her younger sister in the head, killing her at about 4:30 a.m. on Saturday. At least she was being honest. The sisters lived together with their 75-year-old father, who was away from the home at the time of the alleged killing. Yoda contacted a Tokyo lawyer and turned herself in at Shibuya Police Station on Saturday night in the presence of an attorney. Police officers confirmed the presence of Sayuko Yoda's body at the family's home. So there you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, let's check in with my freaking dickies.
Hey, Tim, it's me again. I just called and left a really shitty message like 10 minutes ago. But I went online. I found the MySpace for the woman that has the Smell Your Dick song.
Oh, right.
And gotta check this shit out. It's Risque, R-I-S-K-A-Y, Drama Queen. That's her PlayStation name.
Okay.
Anyways, she's got some classics up there. One, which is I think my favorite now, is Smell That Chick. I think it's exactly the same, except for instead of Smell Your Dick, she says Smell That Chick.
Right.
She gets a whole new track out of it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you know what I think she did there? I have her MySpace page loaded up, and it is really the same song. Take a listen. I think what she's doing here is she's trying to create a radio-friendly version of Smell Yo Dick, because I don't think that's going to get a lot of airtime. So this is her like version of it that's clean. I don't know, it doesn't have the same punch as Smell Yo Dick. According to her MySpace page, she was just signed to Glassnote Records. I've never heard of them.
Hey, Tim, I'm just calling to say that I heard you playing that Let Me Smell Your Dick song.
Right.
And now one of my new favorites. It's been all over the internet because it has an iPhone in it. So all the nerdy blogs are posting that. Oh, man, it's catchy as hell. Oh, man, okay. Just gonna tell you that. Don't put this on the show.
Too late.
Hello, Tim. This is Stacy. I was listening to your April 1st show, and the guy was, like, freaking out over his kid turning off the monitor. Swear to God, that's my dad. He used to do that kind of stuff all the time. There was something wrong with the computer. He turned it off.
He must have had a fun childhood.
He turned it off. He would just, like, go psycho. And now he calls me up protect support, and if I can't help him, then it gets crazy like that again. Maybe one of these days I'll record it. I don't know.
Oh, yes, you have to. Brilliant idea. All right, a couple more, and then we'll get out of here.
Damn it. Hey, this is Richard from the TBL podcast, and I just had a question for you. It's been bothering me for like a week now. A guy called into the show last week, and he started using a bunch of racial epithets, and you cut him off. And I just don't get it. On your show, you make fun of everybody, and you're equal opportunity, but it just seems like there's some crazy affirmative action going on, because whenever you hear somebody on one of your clips, I'm listening to your show today, and someone in one of your clips said the N-bomb, and you were like, we don't use that word on the Distorted View, which you said it funny, but why don't you explain it to me? Why is everybody fair game except for the word nigger or something like that? I mean, you had a ghetto Monday. Come on, man. I
said it myself
really like
on the show. I don't have a problem. Look, I know I'm not racist. Can't even say that with a straight face. No, when I say it with love. I mean it in the best possible way. No, I don't know. It is, I wish I had a good answer for you. I honestly don't. I've used it before on the show, but I guess some days I'm just more of a pussy than others. I really don't have a good explanation. I'm sorry.
And I'm thinking of nothing and dreaming.
Ooh.
Of...
That's Linda Finkel right there. That's a Linda Finkel song, I can tell.
Because
it's awful.
Dreaming of no one. The phone rings, it's you. And I jump up and say...
It's a beautiful, 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 beautiful day. It's a beautiful, 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 beautiful day.
Thank you very much. What a great way to end the show. And by great, I mean horrific. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of Distorted View. Want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-666-OGOD is an OGOD.
You're a grown woman, but all you really want to be is Stan's little girl.
Remember when I took you to that strip club?
Vote for us a podcast, Ali. Subscribe via iTunes. Dig us on dig.com. If you guys are Sideshow members, we've got another brand new episode of Distorted View coming up today. Otherwise, we'll see you back tomorrow for the big Wednesday show. Until then, you guys have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Close your eyes and make a big left. Maybe I can take it.
Fuck you if you're not from Palm Beach County.